Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to go through Tesla's earnings report. They just reported Q1 earnings. They did deliver a beat. We're going to go through all the numbers here and then a couple of takeaways from the call. And then we'll also, after this live stream, head into the earnings call and we'll live stream that as well. I'll take notes, so make sure to check that out. The link for that will be in the show notes. But let's get into the numbers here. So starting off with top line here, we can see Tesla's total sales came in at just over $10.3 billion, $10.389 billion. I was a little bit ahead of analyst consensus, a little bit ahead of my numbers, but basically in the right ballpark. We did see kind of a mix though in between the categories. Automotive sales came in about where we expected, but a lot of that was driven by regulatory credits. So Tesla actually, new record for regulatory credit sales this quarter, almost $500 million, 54% more than analysts expected, 46% higher than last year. 59% higher than what I had expected at $325 million. So that means that my average selling prices, my forecast there, were a little bit high, and that Tesla made up the difference there with regulatory credit sales. Energy sales, so just about $500 million there in revenue, a little bit below where the street had forecasted, 12% below, 30% below where I had forecasted, but still quite a bit of an improvement over year over year, up 70%. So if we look down here, we can see that the reason, and I'm going to zoom in a little bit here, the reason that that happened was because Tesla only delivered 445 megawatt hours of energy storage versus, if we look at Q4, almost three times, more than three times that amount. So Tesla definitely saw a drop there in terms of energy storage that is leading to that lower revenue in energy sales. They also lost quite a bit of money on energy. You can see a negative 20% gross margin there. That's definitely the lowest that we've ever seen from Tesla and continues the downtrend that we've been seeing for the last four quarters. So not a great sign there, but as we have seen, Tesla did raise the price on Solar Roof. They're now bundling solar with Powerwall. So they're doing a lot of things here to improve their profitability here, but we just haven't seen that come to fruition quite yet. So hopefully over the next couple of quarters, Tesla can get that figured out, because that was about $100 million drag on profit, which is pretty significant when we look at Tesla's overall profitability. Services and others, Tesla definitely beat, higher revenue here, beat there. Doesn't really matter if it's services and services and other, because that's a relatively low margin business for Tesla, sometimes not even profitable, often or never even profitable, though they did improve the profitability here. So they lost $70 million, $69 million this quarter for a negative 7.7% gross margin on services and others, which is quite a bit better than what we had saw at any point in time last year. Even though Tesla was making progress, this is definitely continued improvement. So good to see that, especially as that overall revenue volume rises there. Automotive profit, Tesla delivered about $2.4 billion in automotive profit here. That was a total gross margin of 26.5%, but about 4.5% of that overall profit driven by that large regulatory credit sales number. So X credits, which is the most important thing that I look at, 22% up sequentially, so up about 1.3 percentage points quarter over quarter from Q4, and up about 2 percentage points from last year Q1, slightly ahead of analyst expectations as well. So we did see a beat here overall for Tesla, as I said, but luckily a lot of that, or fortunately a lot of that, is coming from a place of really strong actual fundamentals, not just being entirely driven by this regulatory credit sales up here. So Tesla beating there, a little bit below my estimate, but still ahead of what the analysts had expected. So yeah, if we look at those sections, I just want to highlight a couple things in terms of variance to my forecast. Energy we missed on, services and other kind of made that up. Automotive was pretty close. Overall revenue, right in line. Gross profit actually, weirdly enough, hit right on to the dollar, or to the millionth of dollar at least. But you can see that there's a lot of mixing happening in between here, so that's just coincidence. Same thing with revenue too. I think the more important number here to look at is the 22% automotive gross margin X credits, which is a little bit below what I had forecast, but still a number that I'm happy with. Definitely disappointing on the energy margin, but again, Tesla has made some adjustments there, so we'll see how that comes in for Q2. All right, getting down to the bottom lines here then, if we look at operating expenses, Tesla had higher R&D than what I had expected, $666 million, higher selling, general, and administrative costs at just over $1 billion, quite a bit higher than what I had expected, about $500 million in total just from those two areas. Which is a little bit disappointing to see. I would have hoped that Tesla would have made more progress in those areas, mostly in SG&A. I don't really care too much about high R&D. Tesla's always gotten a great return on their spending in R&D, so that doesn't bother me too much. I would have liked to see a little bit better cost control on the SG&A line than what we saw there, but again, there could be some one-time things here. We'll see what they say on the call. Tesla did have a negative $100 million adjustment that they made here. So you can see these don't actually add up to the operating expenses. There was a negative $100 million adjustment there for something, which maybe they'll talk about on the call. Otherwise, we'll wait for the 10Q. But that was a huge miss versus what I had forecast and the street as well. Operating expenses, 20% higher than the analyst forecast and 30% higher than mine, even with that adjustment. So that leaves Tesla with an operating income here of $594 million, quite a bit below where I'd expected of $1 billion, driven by those higher operating expenses, because again, gross profit was right on, leaving them with an operating margin of 5.7%. Not bad. It's, you know, better than they were in Q4, better than they were in Q1, Q2 last year, but not the kind of operating leverage that we saw in Q3. A lot of that being driven by stock-based compensation. So you can see last year, looking at stock-based compensation here, only $211 million in Q1. Now we jumped up here to $614 million. So this is where one of the biggest areas I was off in my forecast was stock-based compensation. So I had forecast $380 million. The street had forecast $420 million. And we ended up at $614. So that's driving the SG&A higher, probably the R&D a little bit higher. I think $299 million of that, $299 million of that of that stock-based compensation was from the CEO plan. So what that means is that Tesla just recognized about a third, a little bit less than a third, but more than a quarter of the remainder of Elon Musk's compensation plan. So this doesn't bother me at all that that is influencing what's going on here. Talking about SG&A, that's definitely a huge factor in why that came in higher than I expected. So since a lot of that has been recognized now, that means in future quarters, there's less of it to recognize. So it's gonna look not great right now, but once this is recognized, things are gonna continue to improve. As we talked about when I went through my bull case, there's just, Tesla could only do this for like two more quarters, three more quarters at most, having that sort of CEO compensation before it's all recognized. So definitely not bothersome there. So bottom line, Tesla delivered just over $1 billion in non-GAAP net income. Really great number. That's like right on my forecast with some of the differences. You know, I was low on stock-based compensation, low on regulatory credits. Those kind of offset each other to some extent. So Tesla ending up pretty close to where I had forecasted on the non-GAAP line, at least. 93 cents earnings per share non-GAAP. So that's up 300% year over year. Love to see that. And 13 cents higher than the analyst consensus here at 80 cents. From a GAAP basis, which people don't look at as closely, they were at 39 cents. Per share versus analyst consensus 42 and me much higher 56 because I did have that lower stock-based compensation number. And then free cash flow wrapping it up at positive $300 billion. I think their free cash flow was negatively impacted by their $1.5 billion purchase in Bitcoin. So that's why that's a little bit lower. But obviously that's still an asset that Tesla has. So not anything concerning from a free cash flow perspective. The other point, wow, what did I want to make here? Let's see, so I think that was mostly it. I did have one other point here that I wanted to mention for sure, but hopefully that'll come back to me. Anyway, let's hop over to the letter. We don't have a ton of time here before the earnings call. So let me switch over here to the shareholder letter and we'll talk about a few of the callouts that Tesla highlighted there. Okay. So just right off the bat here, we can see that Tesla, they talked about Model S and X vehicles. So I know everyone's curious about that. Although I guess they only mentioned the Model S here. They say first deliveries of new Model S should start very shortly. So everyone definitely has been wondering about that. Good to see an update on that from Tesla. Perhaps they'll talk about more of the issues there on the call. A couple other things here. So Model 3 was the best selling premium sedan in the world. Later on, Tesla shows a chart here comparing the Model 3. Oh, hope I didn't scroll past it. The Model 3 growth over time versus the rest of the segment. And you can see it just steadily has increased and taken market share, now becoming the highest selling premium sedan here. So versus the BMW 3 Series, Mercedes E-Class, Audi Q5, and Audi A6. So, you know, it's been in the works for a while, definitely been up there. It's been the best in the US for a long time. And now we see it happening worldwide before even any production in Europe. So great to see that for the Model 3. Tesla says they believe the Model Y should become the best-selling vehicle in the entire world of any kind. I can't remember exactly where they had that in this note, but they did have it in here. That would be more than 1.2 million vehicles. It looks like the Toyota Corolla is at that level right now. So we'll see. That's not the first time Tesla has given pretty high targets for the Model Y. So when we've got it produced at Fremont, Texas, Shanghai, and Berlin, it, you know, that's definitely in line with what Tesla's production targets are. So speaking of Berlin, Tesla did give us an update on their progress with those factories. So they said, so we'll talk about Texas first. They did talk about Texas Model Y production continue to ramp successfully. In Fremont, Model Y production continued to ramp successfully, is approaching full capacity. In Texas, the factory build-out continues to progress quickly, remaining on track to start production and deliveries late this year. So they kind of talk about Model Y there and then go into Texas, and this is kind of the second time we've seen this from Tesla or Elon, more gearing Texas towards focusing on the Model Y. So I don't think that's a great sign for the Cybertruck. I don't think they mentioned the Cybertruck at all in this report. So I think we're probably not going to see much on that this year, unfortunately. They did mention, though, that Tesla Semi deliveries will begin in 2021. So we had seen, I don't know, a little bit of mixed tweeting on that from Elon, but they are reconfirming here 2021. As for the rest of their outlook, no surprise here. A couple analysts had expected Tesla to increase their guidance. That's just not Tesla's style. They've clearly gone to being more vague, as vague as possible. They just reiterated continue to expect above 50% year over year. The other thing that a couple other points here, so they did note that the average cost on their vehicles are now below $38,000 per vehicle. So that's nice that they gave us that. We can do a little math on their automotive gross margin and figure out their average selling price, and that can help us kind of figure out how in line our forecasts are by segment. So that's helpful to have. And you can see there, in 2017, it was $84,000. So that's just shown how quickly, you know, span of 4 years, Tesla has cut their cost of their vehicles in a third. And, you know, they're only going to continue from here. Obviously, they've taken a lot of those bigger gains up front from a sheer dollar amount as they've expanded to Shanghai and gone down to cheaper vehicle classes. So Bitcoin, they did actually sell a little bit of Bitcoin here. If we go down to the financials, again, that's not going to hit. Actually, I think they might have bucketed that in regulatory credit sales. We'll have to look at that a little bit closer once we get the 10Q. Maybe they said in here, but let me just find this here. If I could type correctly. Yeah, so purchases of digital assets, you can see the $1.5 billion there. That's what we had known about previously. And then they say proceeds from sales of digital assets, $572 million. So I'm not sure if Tesla lumped that in with regulatory credits. That might have been one of the reasons that we were off, is just some unexpected sale there. But yeah, Tesla obviously has tons of gains, and they still have plenty of Bitcoin then sitting on their balance sheet. But obviously they can't, as we've talked about, they can't recognize that until they actually sell it, as they did with a small portion here. So I think that is kind of the big takeaways from the earnings report. Overall, I'd say good. You know, there were areas that I would have liked to see be a little bit better. As we kind of scroll through the pictures here, I guess let's take a quick look at those. So there's a nice shot of Giga Berlin. Definitely looks like a factory these days. It'll be fun to see that in another quarter. We've got the casting machine already there in Berlin. Looks like it's pretty well set up, getting ready to go. Stamping set up. Here's Model Y factory construction for Giga Texas. Which, if you guys have been following the drone stuff here, no surprise. Wow, a lot of robots here. It's exciting to see. Again, they do note Model Y factory interior. Model Y factory interior. Giga Shanghai expansion continues. And then a shot of the semi there. So, with that, we will wrap it up. Again, right after this, I will be flipping over to the earnings call. So that's going to start at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 2:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and I'll do the same style as I did last time, just going through and kind of live blogging as we go, and then reaction afterwards. So thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe, and I'll see you guys at the next live stream. Thank you.